You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with pleasure.
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.
It's just past 10:30 and time for the DIY feature with Sean Anderson from Anderson Improvements. And our topic this morning is repairs after storm damage. Good morning, Sean, and welcome back.
Good morning. Yeah.
It must be a headache for you right now repairing all the storm damages.
Well, they don't call it the Cape of Storms for nothing.
Yes, that I do agree. And it was very scary.
Yeah, we had many phone calls. I think just driving around, people could see the damage. And in other areas, the damage was very bad. So, yeah. Yes. So good for the builders, but not so good for the people.
And very heartful for those who'd actually lost their homes and fire and damage.
There were a few houses in the valley, and that's terrible. There's nothing worse. Your whole world is just up in smoke. So that's a terrible thing. Right. But that happens. We'll talk about things that people have reported and come back to us with
requests. Yes, and then you can put it out there to our listeners, how does one get around this?
Well, prevention is a lot better than doing the major repair.
Yes.
Unfortunately, a lot of people only find out after the big damage and then they realize how their house wasn't prepared.
Yes.
Or it could be a new build, someone that's built them something, and then now all the problems come up. So there's a lot of things that happen and what people need to look out for and take precaution.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So let's
we'll start from the top, because that's often where the first signs of damage, and that's the roof.
Yes.
We saw out in Paul, Stellenbosch area, Somerset West, there were entire roof sheets that just blew off.
It was horrific to see.
Yeah. So, number one, I'd probably say the wrong type of roof sheets. A lot of people are going for this clip lock system where there's no proper anchorage. The roof doesn't actually get secured down properly. So they look very nice, but they do come with that issue, that if you have a weak point in that roof, say goodbye, and then you basically have to redo. So I would suggest that if you are going that system, you do put on the edges or the perimeter fixing screws and make sure that you do screw or fix at certain points just to make sure, because once one of those lift up, then it's like a domino effect. They're all going to just take off.
And that's what we did see on some of the media. The videos were shown. It looked like a domino effect.
You'll see a lot on the shopping centers. They have them. It's just, there's no screws, less chance of leaking, which is great. But then you have the other issue.
Yeah. What is the difference between this locking and screws? Why are builders going the locking way?
It's just a new concept of roofing. You don't have to have lots of screws that, more chances of leaking over the years or the screws leaking. It's a hidden bracket that gets attached to your roof structure, and then the roof sheets actually clip onto it. So it secures. As I say, under normal circumstances, they work very well. But if you are in an area that's got renowned for high winds, I would suggest an alternative roof sheet. Yeah.
All right.
But unfortunately, people only find out about this later. Yes. So.
And can you do it yourself, or would you need to get someone in?
I would get a specialist in if you are going to be doing any kind of roof work. People need to realize roof trusses are engineered to accommodate whatever roof sheets you have, to accommodate the weight of the roof. If you've got a tiled roof, everything is engineered and it gets signed off by an engineer. There's a certificate called the A19 certificate, which certifies your roof. Your structure of your roof.
So that's got to be covered by an engineer. That's got to write it off. Wow.
Structure's an engineer would design and sign it off. It's an A19 certificate. And that makes sure that your structure of your roof is actually attached to your house. That in, you know, at least it's just a roof sheet that might blow away, not the whole, your whole roof. We saw some issues in Gordon's Bay where the whole roof was compromised, and that comes down to structural work and how people are installing things today, but and obviously didn't get things signed off properly. So it's very important if you are doing a granny flat now or extension that you demand an A19 certificate, make sure that roof is properly secured to the house. Yeah, otherwise it's going to be a disaster.
I saw some towels go in as well. So how does one support that?
The old heavy towels are quite secure. Those towels don't tend to go anywhere, but people are using slate towels. So it's a lot thinner cement-based or slate towel. Those kind of also flap around. If there's a weak point, the wind can come in and take it. If people have a large overhang in certain roof, then the wind can actually pull up on that overhang and then and lift your sheets. So, yeah. So going back to the roof, check with the new roof installation that everything is secure and that you've covered. Now we go to existing roofs. So say you've had a metal roof system for 15 years or 18 years, and in the past they used to use a nail, a ring shank nail, which is a nail which has got a thread on it, like to make it grip more, and it has a plastic cap. So after 15 years or maybe, yeah, you might want to start looking at replacing those screws with a Torx screw, which is what they're using now for the roof sheets. It's class 4 Torx screw, and that will pull your sheets tighter into the to the, and then it prevents any chance, because a lot of those old nail screws or nails, they start to rust and eventually they'll just break off.
And it becomes wear and tear.
And then you won't realize it until the wind comes and pulls your roof sheets off. So it's quite a job. You could bring in a roofing specialist just to give you a quote to remove all your nails and then replace it with the correct screws, doing it quite carefully.
And now's the time to do that because we don't know how many storms are going to come our way.
Exactly. So, yeah, starting from the top, I would definitely check all of these things. And obviously then you have the waterproofing issue. People suddenly, I had leaks that I never knew existed, or water's coming through the wall. So, again, a wall over the summer, if you go through 3 or 4 or 5 summers, your walls are going to take a beating. So winter, summer, winter, summer, suddenly your wall's not protected. So you might re-look at painting. First look at where you can waterproof, and then I would get hold of your local hardware or painting contractors around, paintsmiths, and I'm sure they might even send someone out to come have a look at the house and see what might be the issue. And then relook at painting. Painting is your protection layer on your house. So, it's not just to look pretty. Yeah. It's actually to protect your walls.
Can you waterproof over existing paint before you paint again?
There's prep work you have to do, yes. So you would have to obviously etch the area. If it's cracks, there's another issue. You have to open up, but you can sand and scrape and open up cracks, and either put on membranes where needed, and then you can waterproof over. If it's a very high gloss paint, then you definitely have to sand more so that the waterproofing can stick. So, and make sure there's no dust. You can't waterproof over sandy, dusty walls. So I would clean the wall first, give it a good sand, brush off.
And do this on a good day because the way the wind is blowing now.
Yeah, no, ideally you want to, if you're going to be doing final coats on walls and stuff, I wouldn't paint under gusting winds, so you want to make sure that the weather is decent. But yeah, people don't, that's one way of water damaging your walls and getting in. And penetrating. Again, your other weak point is your windows. People now realize they've got a lot of water around the inside of their windows, and that's also because they haven't sealed around the windows for a few years, so the sealant will deteriorate, so they have to scrape out all the old sealant and reseal. Then you look at cottage pane windows, also a nightmare. So you got to.
That's a nightmare for us.
Yeah. So a lot of people, cottage pane, you got to reseal it, either take the beading off, re-putty, make sure that the wind and the air is not coming through the glass.
Right. So you suggest how often should you? Once a year, you should just re-putty and
no, I wouldn't go once a year. I would say what maybe one every 3 years or four. It depends on where if the window is weather facing. You'll find if you look at your house, you'll find the one area of the house all the windows are deteriorating, and the ones that aren't affected by the weather are still perfect. So every house is situated differently.
All right. Good morning, Paul. Paul is asking, what do you think about the new Durham? Is it Durham a rubber flex paint?
I rate it very highly. We are using that product. So very happy with their rubber flex. And it paints over easily. Often we've had the problem with other rubberized products. There's Super Lake Golds. It's another ABE, which is a great product. But it comes in black, and now you've got to cover that with the color of the wall or something. So there's a process that you need to do where Rubber Flex gives very good adhesion. It keeps the water out, and you can paint easily over it. So I've had good results with it.
All right. And does that come in different colors?
It does come in different colors. I tend to use the white. I can, what's nice is it doesn't look like waterproofing on the wall. So you can actually paint a wall with it and then paint over, and you know, you wouldn't know that it was a waterproofing layer.
Okay. Hope that answers your question, Paul.
Yeah. Right. So, and that rubber flex he's talking about, you can use on parapet walls, on top of your parapet walls on your roof, your flashings. You can even do it around the reveals of your windows on the outside. Just to prevent, and wherever you have damp issues,
you can use it.
Yeah. So again, so you want to keep the water out. That's the whole idea. Yeah.
So we're getting back to the cottage windows, which is
cottage pane. Yeah. Which is, I wouldn't go every year. So as I said, depends on if the window is getting beaten up by the weather, rain or sun, and I'd look at it using that, doing some work on it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So, you look at your weak points, your glass, your whatever, your doors. Some doors might only get hit with certain weather at some time, and now you see leaking.
And swells.
And swells. You can see and trim those doors or plane it again before it sticks. If it sticks, it starts to cause other issues. So if you do see swelling, you want to attend to that quite quick. Yeah. And
would one have to take the door off?
It's better to take the door off, and then you give it a good plane. If you've got a planer, or you have a nice sanding machine and with very strong grit, 40 grit, and you can actually take three mils off that. Three mils should cover. Yeah.
So if you've got knowledge of woodwork, then you can do it, or otherwise preferred, get someone in to do it for you.
Generally just try and you want to keep it so it's clear. But then once you've sanded or planed, remember to do a good sand and wood prime. Always put your nice coat of wood primer, and then you put your top coats of water-based Valvaglow.
Okay.
Just
to make your door look happy, and because I know now, I think everyone's starting with those problems, swelling doors, etc.
Yeah,
you know. A few weeks ago you did mention how important it was to keep your gutters clean.
Yeah, gutters are important, and runoff away from the house. So you know, with the heavy storms comes heavy rain, and you want to keep the water away from your foundation. So wherever your downpipes are going, make sure the water's flowing away from your house. There's no blockages of water to dam up or pool up, because you don't want to compromise your foundations. Foundations are the other big issue. When it comes to storms, is we've seen a lot of boundary walls suddenly just falling over.
Yes, I've seen that too.
and vibrecrete and boundary walls and things. So those are foundations that have failed, and that need to be sorted out.
So how does that get sorted out now, especially now? And I know we've also had that topic about foundation. You go as deep as you can for your vibrecrete to, you know.
Every wall is a little bit different. It depends on if it's a retaining wall or if it's just a freestanding wall, which is it hasn't got pressure on it, you know. But either way, you have to, any foundation has to go down to solid ground, and that will depend on the depth, that how deep you dig those foundations. So you can't just say for every foundation you're going to dig 400 deep or 600 deep. It depends on when you hit solid ground. That is the bottom of your foundation. Yeah, so it could be 1.2 meters deep before you hit, and then, yeah. Yeah. You'll have part of your wall will be underground. But that's yeah. just how you do it.
And as you said, many have fallen over, you know. So what the difference is, vibrocrete, is that going to be easy?
So the problem with vibrocrete is people, it's the cheapest option of a stone or a yes. brick or like a solid wall.
Yes.
And they cut corners, unfortunately. So again, vibrocrete works on a post system. So you got your concrete posts. That again, they cut corners on how much concrete they're using, so and how deep and big the hole they dig. So make sure that the guys are digging a decent, at least 800 or deep by 600. It depends on the terrain again, on how deep they should dig. Because once that post goes, that is your support of the wall. Once it goes in the ground, that is it. And they make sure they put it level, because often that doesn't happen. They don't put it level either. And the other thing they often miss is they don't grout between the slats. So every slat, the slat goes between the posts. You're meant to put cement down the sides, on the front and the back, and even a little layer on top. So
it's not just a hook in.
It's not just hook down and off you go. Yeah, you meant to have cement down the sides and cement across each slat along the top, and then you push it down, and the cement will just push out. So then you have it's basically creating a seal. Yeah, but again, a vibrocrete's only as strong as its support posts. If the support posts are compromised, that's why some people, they often go, "I just want to make the vibrocrete another meter higher or something," and then. They add on those extra columns, and they add on, and then next thing the wall's falling over because the original posts were not set properly. So, so we've seen a lot of that, and also loose fibrecrete, as we said, the slats are just blowing around, and then they just.
So, how do you repair the loose ones? It's still flapping.
If you have got fibrecrete and you want to, and it has no cement between, then you would have to carefully lift out, mark each one, number them. So that you put them back in the same order, because often each slat was pushed into that column, at a certain. And then you start from the bottom. You make sure your bottom slat is 100% level, and then you start with your slat and cement work at the same time, and that should make your thing. If your posts are compromised, you can dig a hole around that column, that post. Get some props and stays to keep the post in its position, and then you add concrete. You can actually create another concrete base around that to strengthen the post. So that also is quite a job, but yeah, this is what guys say. They'll come and give you a cheap wall, and you think, oh, look how cheap it. And then labor is very expensive, so if they can save one day on labor. That was all.
And the wooden fence, I saw lots of wooden fence. Well, they're probably broken, because some of the ones I have seen are broken.
The timber fence is the same concept. It all depends how strong the timber posts are. If the timber posts weren't done properly, then your fence is going to go. A lot of people also with the timber fence is the nails over 10, 15 or 20, where those nails can start rusting, and then the slats will start popping off. And then rotten timber can also happen. So you need to look at your boundary wall every 10 years or whatever, just see what condition they are. If there's some rotten slats, swap, just change them over, or panels, then rather just swap it over for a new panel. But again, yeah, everything is as strong as the foundation and the footing. The retaining walls is a whole nother issue. A retaining wall can over years just start leaning over. So And literally the whole wall, it would just start leaning. And then that's a failed foundation, because now every year it's just going to lean over that little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit, until it's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah. Is that this happens a lot on coast?
On the coast, high winds, a lot of water.
Yeah.
And again, when they didn't do the proper foundation.
So then what do you do in this case? If it's leaning over?
Unfortunately, in some walls, they're able to save it. If you catch it early and bring an engineer in, he can direct you in the right direction where you can put in extra stubs or columns or something just to keep that wall from not going any further. If you don't catch it in time, we have a job at the moment where unfortunately it's leaning over too far, and even after these last storms, it moved even more. So their option would be to remove, break up that whole wall, very high, costly exercise, and basically rebuild with steel and new foundations.
Would you be able to use the existing blocks?
Not often, especially with the blocks. The blocks break up as you're constructing, but the bricks, in some areas, bricks can be reused, but again, also probably not. So it's for a bricklayer to work with old bricks. It's a nightmare.
When you come to paving, and the paving's also starting to, what do you call it, sink?
That's another issue that we have in a lot of our paving. The guys who say they can do paving, they don't do the proper work, the proper preparation work. So it's very common here to just level the area, compact it quickly, and then just put a layer of clean sand, and then they pave on that. They don't do a proper compaction, a clean layer of white sand, and then you compact that, and then you have a layer of sand and cement dry mix, where you put cement with the sand and you level that out.
Okay. So step by step, you can lift up all those existing pavers. And then, as you said, do you put plastic down like they used to do?
It depends on what area that you're in. If it's a high, if it's a wet area, then I would put a
plastic
vapor barrier between, under your leveling sand.
Is the vapor the same as the plastic sheeting?
It can be a high-dense plastic sheeting, okay. And that'll prevent moisture coming up. But with the sand and cement dry mix, it's not common that you would need that, and most areas wouldn't need that. But it's all about it's common knowledge. If you haven't compacted or strengthened your sub-base, you're going to have lots of potholes and seepage and. So, again, drainage, make sure the water runs off properly. You don't want water pooling up on your paving. So it's all movement and subsidence.
Has run out for us. Can you believe it? So is there anything else you want to just share with everybody regarding the storm?
Just prepare yourself and stay safe.
Sean, thank you for coming in and sharing your knowledge and expertise with us. And do you want to give out your number?
That's Anderson Improvements. It's 083-316-5752.
See you in 2 weeks' time.
Ciao.
That DIY feature was brought to you by PaintSmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit PaintSmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit PaintSmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. PaintSmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Drive, Sunnydale.